throughout 2020, I think there's been a lot of focus on furloughing people, making people unfortunately redundant, companies closing down. But actually, whilst the unemployment rate has gone up, it also went down again. And a lot of people are finding new jobs, new roles. Yes, a lot of people are moving away from full-time employment to becoming self-employed, to starting their own businesses, to taking on a slightly different approach to their employed life. But in all of that, there's actually been a significant amount of recruitment by some companies adapting to the future needs. And in the challenges of 2020, it's thrown up a new challenge, if you like, and that is virtual interviews and remote onboarding. Both of them, you know, have a lot of similarities, but also both of them have quite different challenges within themselves. So virtual interviews, let's talk about that. So first of all, the process today of finding a job, let's be honest, isn't geared towards the applicant. It's one of those processes where if you're the applicant, if you're the consumer in this, that the technology that we use today actually works against you, and it makes for a far worse experience. The general reviews are that someone will look at a CV for between 5 and 7 seconds. That's almost enough time to do absolutely nothing. And also, bearing in mind, a lot of people do what we might consider window dressing or a little bit of creative license within their CV. In fact, on the Mission 23 website, there's a blog entitled CVs Are Not Worth the Paper They're Written On. It's worth reading because you'd be amazed at how many people are creative in their preparation of their CV. So when you apply for a job and you send it through and you get that, if we are interested in you, we'll be in touch. You know, it's pretty shoddy of employers to do that. It's almost like a lottery. Maybe they're going to use some computer system to just look for some keywords, bit of AI intelligence to weed out from the many down to just a few. And the reality is, we are using technology to apply for jobs, and the technology is being used to come up with a shortlist. So the whole experience is now much, much worse. But when you get to the interview stage, how does that now work? You know, do you need to go to the office? Do you want to do it remotely? And of course, the interesting thing is, if that person is going to be working remotely for much of their time, actually, is doing an interview remotely preferable? You know, you're seeing them in the environment in which you're going to interact with them. And it's an interesting thing that some companies are still saying, okay, we want remote workers and we need you to come in for an interview. Or we're doing remote interviews, but when you start, we expect you to be here. So the two don't always align or match, but you know, remote interviews are very, very difficult. First of all, 20% of what comes out of your mouth is what it is you're trying to say. It's difficult to interpret body language on a video. Yes, it's easier to interpret body language on a video than it is on a telephone call, but it is still very, very difficult. Yes, you can pick up on the nuances and subtleties, but you know, you're losing a lot of the intent. So virtual interviews are quite difficult, starting from what is you know, a technology driven process to just come up with a very short list as quickly as possible. So how do you address that? Well, there is no easy answer, but I think just being cognizant of the fact that a virtual interview is not comfortable for many interviewers, it's not comfortable for many interviewees, and the ability to get through more doesn't necessarily ensure you get a better outcome. So taking time in the interview process in a virtual interview, not to snoop around the background and see, you know, what their house looks like, whether it's a suitable office. There are companies that can do that. They will come in and do an office assessment. But to understand the person, so the balance between what they bring to the job, what the task that you want them to do, and their skills and capabilities now becomes less critical. And understanding their who they are as a person, perhaps their skills and abilities in the softer issues, perhaps their ability to adapt and work remotely, you know, being more cognizant of their mental health needs, their physical needs, being stuck at a desk without the ability to wander off to the water cooler and have a chat, their ability to socialize, their ability to engage. And learning all of that from an interview now becomes far more important than when we did it face to face. And once you've determined and agreed and decided to appoint someone, then you've got remote onboarding. Now, remote onboarding is actually, you know, not particularly difficult to do, but you do need to be prepared. You do need to be structured. So technology and systems right from the start will help you. Create an onboarding portal where there is access to all the information, all the training that is needed. Maybe find a dedicated helper, a bit of one-to-one mentoring, coaching, not necessarily someone from the management team, but maybe a peer or an associate or someone from a different department who can just be there to guide them through the company. You know, we all remember those first days in the office when you walk around from desk to desk to desk and get introduced to people and they explain who they are and you have these very polite and short conversations of introduction. You can't do that anymore. So it is difficult. So, you know, remembering that no longer exists, how do you walk them around the company so they get to know who people are? So make it easy for them to start. Have a chat, put together a welcome pack, but personalize the welcome pack, individualize the welcome pack. You know, that takes a little bit of time and effort, but go back to your interview notes, go back to what it was on the interview that was important to them, and try and weave that into your onboarding systems. You know, the other thing is, you know, the walking around the building, meeting people, you know, let the team know who's joining. Let the team have insight to who's joining. So on the day they join, you know, you don't want to bombard them with 50 emails saying welcome to the company. But it would be nice if there was a drip feed of welcome emails and messages and you know, getting to know you kind of emails. Because there are no water cooler chats anymore. Now, one of the things you'll often perhaps here is working from home can be a lonely existence. Yes, it can. But lonely in terms of what you're doing, in terms of your skills, in terms of your capabilities, in terms of how that manifests itself in the job, only 20% of people suffer from loneliness, according to a recent study. Now, that means it impacts on their ability, either within their job or, you know, personally. Only 20%. So 80% of people are capable of working remotely, working from home. And you don't know whether these people fit in the 80 or 20, but make sure that you allow for the 20%, and then the 80% will get the benefit as well. The other thing about onboarding is set some clear objectives and set ways to intervene early. Collaborative learning is absolutely vital, but early intervention is also absolutely vital. And get them involved in a project. Make them feel part of a community with a deliverable so they can get some sense of achievement. We talked earlier about, you know, having someone to work with them, you know, a mentor, a buddy, etc. Absolutely. And make the company culture recognize that there are people joining the company that have never met anyone, that may never meet anyone. It's difficult. Remote interviews, remote onboarding is challenging, and a lot of companies are working very, very hard to solve that. So a lot of companies, to be fair, are just going with it and not really investing too much time in making it better for the new joiners. There's a couple of great articles, and the links are at the bottom of the page now, but there are a couple of great articles that you can read about checklists, about, you know, remote onboarding and so on and so forth, and advise you to read them if you're struggling with this. But this is how it's going to be for a lot of companies, for a lot of positions, for a lot of people from now on. So planning, preparing and putting in place how you can use virtual interviews to your advantage and how remote onboarding can work to your advantage and to the advantage of the employee. I know personally of someone who started a company not long ago, at the same time as a group of others. And the senior management recently did a anonymized report where they identified some people that did really, really well and some people that struggled. And it was all down to that individual and their personality and their ability to just wade in and start a conversation, to feel comfortable. So if you've got people that aren't active, aren't noisy, aren't busy, just check back and make sure that it's, you know, not affecting them and not going to affect them long term. I hope this has been useful. If you want to know any more, if you want us to help you with some of these processes, we're here to help. My name is John Fuggles and I work for Mission 23. Thank you.